Yes, indeed. Good afternoon, and welcome to another week. Todd Feinberg with you, WTICC. I always wanted to add a fifth letter to that. All the radio stations in the country almost have four letters. So the latest departure has three letters. UTC. United Technologies, the latest departure. What do you think? If they get approved, of course. You never know what's going to happen with this politically. But the political importance to Connecticut, I think, is right now before we get to find out what happens. Because this announcement, it seems to me, makes it even harder on the bad guys. The Democrats trying to get another $1,000 a year. They just passed $1,000 a year out of your pocket with sales tax hikes last week. And they want to get another $1,000 out of your pocket for tolls. Now, the tolls thing is looking kind of shaky. You remember Senator Rob Sampson was on last week, the conservative Republican, saying he doesn't think that there's any vote on tolls even coming. And I thought that was an interesting statement because that makes a lot of weird activity all string together logically. For example, you remember a couple of weeks ago, there was that weird moment where the governor said, I want the vote right away on tolls after he had said it was going to happen in the summer. And then he was contradicted by Joe Arasimowitz, Union Joe. Apparently, the unions didn't want the vote until the summer session. What is going on with that? Well, that was strange. Fighting between the governor and legislative leaders, or was that a little deke to make it seem like they were still working on their strategy for tolls when, in fact, tolls had been dead for a while? There's just a weird sensation about this. Then the other part I think is significant about whether there will be a tolls vote or not is that there are two places from which a special session can be generated. The legislature can do it, or the governor can do it. They, for whatever reason, and in whatever way, are not together on this. They aren't together. There's a special session coming for school construction bonding, called for by the legislature. The governor, and Arasimowitz told us this last week, the governor is going to call his own session for the tolls. Now, why would they separate it like that? For the same reason they haven't had a vote on tolls yet. That reason being they don't have the votes. The second they have the votes, they're rushing into that building as fast as they can to get it done before something changes. But instead, what do we get? We get avoidance. Yes, we get avoidance. That's what we're getting. They don't want to vote on tolls because they can't vote on tolls. They can't vote on tolls because they don't have the votes to win. You don't take votes that you're not going to win. That's how it works. So tolls perhaps have been a false expectation for a while, kept alive to keep everybody off balance, focused on tolls while they did other stuff. That's a possible. And now you've got this United Technologies departure that just reminds everybody what a disaster Democrats have made of the state. It reminds everybody of GE leaving a couple of years ago and what that meant for the state and the powerful negative political signal that sent. Okay, now it's back. Now it's there they go again. The big company. Why would anybody imagine the discussion between United Technologies and Raytheon? Do you think they sat there and had a debate over which place was better, Connecticut or Boston? Was that a big debate? Did they even discuss that? It probably went like this. Raytheon, naturally, we'll keep the company at Raytheon headquarters in the Boston area. And the response from United Technologies, well, of course. Like, that was probably the whole conversation, don't you think? What is your reaction to this announcement? Big deal, small deal? Big deal or small deal? 860-522-9842. I believe it changes the dynamic of where the legislature is at. I think it's interesting it got announced now instead of a couple weeks ago, because they could have, United Technologies could have saved some heartache and some bad legislation being passed and signed into law if it had acted a little quicker in the announcement. I wonder if they held it up as a courtesy to the plunderers in Connecticut as a little going away present. Boy, oh boy. 860-522-9842, Dan in Manchester. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Todd?
Thanks for the call, sir.
You're welcome. You know, you're talking about a potential special session called by the governor. And Article 3 in the Connecticut Constitution, and I'm paraphrasing because I won't read it all, but it basically says that the governor can only call a special session if there's a special emergency.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would fabricate anything into an emergency.
Well, for example, it also says that the governor can a special session or regular session has to be convened in Hartford. However, the governor can convene a general assembly in another location other than Hartford, mm-hmm, for a special emergency. So clearly, a special emergency is something more than just a normal routine budget issue. So if he were to call a convention or special session for something as regular as normal as tolls, that would not qualify as a special emergency.
Well, wait a sec. Is that the language that's in the Constitution?
Well,
it can only
I can read you Article 3 with respect to
it's
that.
It's just that.
Why?
No, please don't. I just want you to answer my question. I just want you to answer my question. Is that what the language says, emergency, without defining it?
It talks about a special emergency, but the governor can only call a special session for a special emergency.
Okay, but it doesn't define what that is. It just throws that language
out. Well, in
a
way it does, because it says that the governor can convene the General Assembly in a location other than Hartford for, mm-hmm, a special emergency. But it says that a regular session or a special session has to be convened in Hartford. So really, it's saying that it has to be something very dire. You know, if it has to be so dire that you can convene the General Assembly somewhere other than Hartford, then it has to be something very unique. And clearly, okay, you don't need to define a normal budget process such as tolls as a special emergency. That's,
yes,
just normal budget.
But it's, you know, that's open to interpretation for political reasons. But I think you're right, Dan. It adds more of a burden on the Democrats if they're going to take that course. Thank you for the clarification on the Constitution. Always a good thing to know about. Al in East Hartford, hi.
Hi. I had two things. One of them, the first one is with the toll thing. They approved the toll commission, what is it, about 6 months ago. And if you remember, they voted it, and they made it so that if they don't vote, and it already goes into effect for that commission to be able to put tolls in. They kind of snaked that through, and people feel about that.
Well, that's
true. They actually have already given themselves the permission to do it.
Yeah. I wonder, I'll have to go back and look at that now. Good point, number one. What's point number two?
The other thing is, if you remember, this is probably before you started your program, there was a president of Pratt Whitney, and he was talking about places to do business in the world, and he said any place but Connecticut is low cost. Any place is low cost compared to Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine? This was the president of Pratt Whitney at the time. People are seeing all things leave. The people that are in the state, they must have lost their mind, because they've never mind killed the goose. They're frying it with a flamethrower now, and they don't care, because they don't see that this is going to affect them. We don't have anybody representing us. We just have people representing themselves.
Well, that's absolutely correct, and that is what the problem is. They don't care about the best interests of the state or the people who live here. They care about their own political power. Thank you for that, Al. Let's pause briefly, and then we'll continue the conversation. 860-522-9842. What does this announcement that United Technologies is leaving mean in your mind? Stay with us on WTIC. Talking about the plunderers and their effects. United Technologies merger, I think, changes the toll dynamic a little bit. What is your feeling? Now, this is the Speaker of the Union last week on Friday.
At best, tolls are a 50-50 proposition in the state. And those that are working very hard to disrupt that are putting a lot of misinformation out there. So part of what has to happen in the process to where we get to move forward with it is we have to get that information out, talk about what's exactly in the Special Transportation Fund, talk about the safety procedures that will be in place to ensure that Department of Transportation just isn't getting a blank check.
Now, that's kind of amazing to have the union speaker on Friday at the end of the legislative session, after weeks of advocating for tolls, saying it's a 50-50 proposition whether they will even have a vote on tolls. And then the governor says,
I can tell you that over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to be sitting down with the legislative leaders and finding a way that we get this thing moving.
All right. Finding a way. They're going to find a way to get tolls moving. In other words, tolls aren't happening right now. They're not moving. That's quite a pair of cuts and quite a confession.
At the end of the day, I'm not going to let people avoid a tough vote because it's the most important thing we can do to get the state moving.
Well, they don't take tough votes that they're going to lose, and that's why they're avoiding having the vote. 860-522-9842. Your response, please, to United Technologies. I see it as part of this larger picture of the tragedy of one-party rule, the tragedy of what the Democrats have done to the state. Yet another little bit of evidence for you to consider. 860-522-WTIC, Joe calling from New Hampshire. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Ted. I was going to call the morning show with this news flash, but I'm saving it for your show because I think you can do more with it. You're going to be ahead of the curve on this. You were just wondering why the toll thing cooled off on Friday. Well, I got some news for you. You're always ahead of the curve. I heard this secondhand. Martin Looney is considering it. This is a game changer. Are you familiar? California, approximately 2 weeks ago, passed what they called the 1,000-foot tax. And the people in California are going to be leaving in droves, you know, the middle class. What it amounts to is this. Every person that owns property, a house, every 1,000 square feet of your house is taxed $250 a year by the state of California. Connecticut just learned about that through Martin Looney, and they are considering that now as an alternative to tolls. The 1,000-foot tax, they may make it a 500-foot tax for Connecticut because we're a much smaller state, but imagine all the money they could raise, $250 per 1,000 feet. This is a fact, not a theory.
No. The only thing that's funny about it is I think they'd be better off continuing the chase for tolls. Like that, can you imagine a statewide property tax hike over the summer and what that would do to the Democrats? Now, I'm not saying what you're saying isn't true. I'm saying let them come and give that one a shot, because nothing upsets people more than a hike in property taxes.
Well, Todd, I know you do your research. When you get a chance, look it up. California just passed this one, they call it the 1,000-foot tax. It's to do with square foot in your dwelling. And one other thing, Todd, please, please, please look up the ramifications of the state sales tax that took effect April 1st. It's going to be $300-500 million a year, and no one's talking about it. Is it going to be a slush fund for illegal aliens in Connecticut?
Well, it just could be, as the pressure to provide full benefits, also from California, which is the governor has proposed free health care for all illegals in the state, or most of them. So, yeah, thank you, Joe. There's a lot going on, a lot to consider. 860-522 9842, Patrick in Weathersfield. Hi, Patrick.
Todd, good afternoon. Interesting that today the UTC thing comes out, which is awful. You know, I mean, might only be 100 jobs, but it's still, we're losing part of the history that's been here forever. But on the same day that comes out, Senator Blumenthal comes out with free Medicaid for all. I mean, it just doesn't end.
They are a like-minded lot, and it's really interesting the degree to which this stuff propagates around the country.
Oh, it's just I think it's just a bad. It just looks bad again for UTC, even if they only say what a slight number of jobs. It's just another kick in the teeth. You know,
well,
someone big is leaving.
If the headquarters is no longer in Connecticut, there's no more political allegiance. The allegiance
Correct.
Is simply what's in the best interest of the company. Are we better off with leaving that where it is, or shutting it down and moving it somewhere else?
Yeah. So it's just terrible stuff. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, sir. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Bob in Enfield. Hi, Bob.
Yes, how you doing? I think people forgot. Mass Mutual is moving out of Enfield, Connecticut.
Yes.
They're the highest taxpayer in Enfield. They're moving out. They're going to be out by March of 2021. And they're partially moved out already. Building one is almost empty.
Are they paying back? They've got money they have to pay back to the government, right?
Yeah, they're going to pay it back because they got a better deal up in Massachusetts. And they're a Massachusetts company anyway, Mass Mutual. They're closing all their sales offices across the country, moving everything to Mass because you don't need to be. You can be located on the moon and
yes.
have sales.
Yes.
Sales agent.
Yeah, it's a remarkable moment. Thank you for that, Bob. And a great reminder of just what Democrats in charge means for the state and for the country. I've got some Elizabeth Warren sound I want to share with you as well, because I think it feeds into what the leftists are up to. And you know, the caller mentioned Senator Blumenthal. At once you reach a certain point of communism, which is really, well, we'll talk about it coming up. We will, because we need to stretch this out. But I don't know what the difference is between communists and the Democrats in the state and in the country anymore. 860-522-9842, News Time on WTIC.
Revolution Radio.
WTIC, Todd with you on a Monday afternoon. Big news with United Technologies. It's just such a mess. The state is such a mess. So part of the tension here is that Democrats won't admit what the mess is. They won't actually articulate the mess because it's a hideous confession to admit that the state has, the best interests of the state have been sold out to unions. Public sector unions, a special interest group to which the Democrats have sold the soul of the state. And there's really no way around that without confronting it. And they can't confront it because that's their closest political ally. The public sector unions are a creation of the Democrats for the purpose of bankrupting the state. Well, for the purpose of selling out voters, building a rigged system. So that's a tough thing for them to walk away from, their most vital special interest group. What do they do? What do they do? How do they deal with that? Well, they don't want to think about that. It's too big. It's too scary. They don't want to deal with it. So they create this tension because they won't say the truth about what's going on. So they endeavor to pull the wool over the eyes with this phony campaign about infrastructure. It's not that the state couldn't use improved infrastructure. It's all the lies that went into this specific proposal for infrastructure because they need the money to pay the benefits that have been unfunded, the liabilities that the state has that aren't funded. And that's what the money's for. It's not for transportation, and that's why everything's screwed up. I'll remind you that the authority on this is Dan Malloy, and we'll play this sound cut for the 1,000th time.
If you look at what we are spending, every cent of additional revenue that has come in since 2011 goes to pay pensions. teachers and state workers and other post-employment benefits. Every single cent and more.
So that's Dan Malloy confirming what I'm telling you, that the crux of all this toll stuff is about how to pay off their union partners. And until there's leadership willing to tell the truth and confront the reality, that will continue to be the cancer that eats away at the financial well-being of the state and the political well-being, because how do you have an effective democratic system where the premise of getting through every year is a lie and a new tax increase that the party in power has to lie about in order to pay the bills? So United Technologies goes hand in hand with that, I think, because it changes the nature of what Democrats are confronting. They have seen their credibility erode dramatically just since last November. Scott in Burlington, hi, you're on WTIC. Scott, go ahead, sir. Scott apparently is ordering his sandwich. Let's try Jim next. Hi, Jim.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. Well, nothing's going to change in this state until the Republicans campaign in the larger cities. The last three Republicans who ran for governor couldn't find the cities of Connecticut with a compass on a map. And the statewide elections are lost there, as we've seen. And, you know, the special election really this past couple months ago showed that there really wasn't the opposition to what's happening in the state. Because if it was, the Republicans would have done well, and they didn't. And you would have thought things would have changed when we survived the near loss of the Aetna. And the only reason the Aetna is there is because CBS bought them. And how long will the Aetna stay in Connecticut? They've given no guarantees. So really nothing's going to change because people continue to vote for the same people. So, you know, you get a lot of people calling in or angry and what have you, but they're really the minority because the majority of the people, you have to admit, are still voting for the Democrats.
Well, this is a permanent flux. Everything in politics is in flux. So I resist anybody who calls in and says never. This will never happen because that never, never happens. Everything's changing all the time. Everything will change. That this was, you're right, an election that Republicans should have won. They didn't because of a lot of different factors. They didn't win. One of them was a rookie candidate for governor. One of them was how the president framed the election around his desire to control the Senate. There were a lot of different factors, and Democrats realizing that it was a desperate moment for them and calling in the troops. It wasn't just the unions in the state, but unions coming in from out of state to man the election rigging machinery of the Democratic Party.
And you have to admit, the cities, the Republicans never campaigned there. They don't even know what it's, what.
Well, they never do. But that's nothing new. They never campaign in cities. But
and
they're
that's
going.
Where they lose the elections.
Well, they of course, but that's because that's not their constituency. So every.
Well, they're going to continue to lose.
Well, everybody who loses an election loses it because they can't campaign effectively where their opposition is the strongest. Nevertheless, you're correct that Republicans will have to change and have to start campaigning in cities, and they will. But they don't know the language yet. They don't know how to undermine the hate speech of the Democrats, who always call anybody trying to step in and tell the truth about what's going on in urban America racists and Nazis and xenophobes and haters and all that awful language that they use as a way to scare away Republicans. But it's true that the dynamic is changing on the ground and that Republicans will have to be pursuing those votes. Lisa calling from Rocky Hill. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on the 100 employees leaving UTC, mm-hmm. because I think when you talk about 100 people, you're also talking about 100 families. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, very seldom do you see top executives leave without bringing the top people in their office, whether it's their executive assistants, their key administrative assistants, or a couple of key staff people that have brought them to the level of success that they're at. So I'm curious to see how many employees actually end up leaving. I bet it's going to be a lot more than 100.
Well, certainly you're correct that the incentive for United Technologies right now is to soft sell departures and to err on the side of downplaying what it will mean for the state, because they don't want to hurt the political structure that they still depend on while they operate so many businesses here. So I think you're right. We can assume that the sentimental attachment to Connecticut wanes very quickly, and the new corporate headquarters will be making decisions from Boston in a cold, calculated way that says, what should we do with this division? Where should we move it to? Should we leave it where it is, or do we have an incentive to move it? And I think you're right that it'll get a lot worse.
Good talking to you.
Thank you so much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you, Lisa. I mean, doesn't that make sense? They sweet talk at first, and then they move on to reality when they're freer and don't care so much. But that'll be a progression, I think. Scott in Burlington. Hi, Scott. Scott, you there? Oh, he keeps holding, but he isn't connecting with us. I don't know what's going on. Maybe Scott, you should call back, and maybe something's wrong with your phone. Joe in Simsbury. Hi, Joe.
Hi there. I'd like to paraphrase our former governor, who is even more at fault for this than lying Ned. Every single company in the U.S. and more have taken Connecticut off of their list for major expansion. Every single company.
Every single one.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So I'd like to follow up on what Lisa was saying.
Oh, by the way, just before you move on.
Yes, sir.
In a state where millennials do not want to move, what company would want to invest in that state?
No one would.
I think that's right.
You and Lisa were just talking about the whole political aspects of UTC potentially moving more jobs out of here. And I think that's something that is very important to them, because it would be my fantasy for Greg Hayes to just stand up there and be very honest with the people of the state of Connecticut as to what the business situation is like in Connecticut. But he can't, because if he successfully says something that points fingers directly at the Democrat Party, where they have no wiggle room, the Democrats in Congress and Senate will be all over United Technologies, making their life miserable. So it's not even worth it for him to try to help the state on his way out the door.
Well, not just that, but if you have major investments in the state that you'd like to be able to unload at some point, you certainly don't want to devalue them with your own statements.
That's a good point as well. Well, maybe you could talk to Richard Blumenthal, who today came out in support of Medicare for All, which would decimate the healthcare industry in his own state. Another real winner.
Yes, that one's very bright, that whole Medicare. I think he came out for that in May, actually. 860-522-9842. So it's no surprise, but it's still bizarre how the Democrats operate. Bizarre how against the economy they are and against the state. Bill in Simsbury. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, great. Someone called earlier, and everybody was kind of green. It's only 100 jobs. I just wanted to comment on the, having worked at UTC, those 100 jobs, corporate level, aren't just like any 100 jobs. They're usually fairly highly compensated.
Yeah, what kind of salaries do you imagine?
Yeah. Well, I actually know, and not to mention their homes and then what they
Well, can you give us a sense, though? Can you give us a framework for what kind of salaries we're talking about?
Usually half a million up.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of big homes going on the market.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of the 100 jobs are maybe admin support that aren't in that category, but you're up there. And also, having worked at Dexter, where Dexter was sold, you know, to a Finnish company, when a foundation, you know, the corporate foundation which supports a community, Hartford in particular, you know, surrounding communities, those altruistic monies just disappear. So when a corporate office does leave, the impact is more than, let's say, my job.
Yeah, so that's really a good point. I'd forgotten about that. And there was a big effect for charitable giving, I believe, when GE left. And that's the kind
And when Dexter left, the Dexter Foundation and the Kaufman family, I'm throwing some names around here, but I know we spent a lot of money supporting the community, and it was kind of sad that money went away.
Bill, thank you so much for making the call. Good to talk with you. Let's take a quick break. We'll continue on WTIC. WTIC, yes, yes, yes. State is a mess. Keeps getting worse. That's how the law of physics works, I think. When you've made a disaster of the basic structural edifice of an organization like a state, you know, huge, slow-moving thing. Even after you start to turn things around, it still keeps heading in the wrong direction for a while, but we're not anywhere near starting to turn things around. I mean, the disease is still the same, and nobody wants to talk about what the actual disease is because those in power don't think they would benefit from truth. They think they would benefit from deception. 860-522-9842. So what's your take on the United Technologies announcement? How does this affect the state? It seems to me it's huge, and what you're seeing in the paper downplays it. What you're hearing in the news downplays it because they're trying to make it sound good because the announcement only consists of corporate headquarters, 100 people leaving. But surely it won't remain like that for long. The potential good news is they're not going that far. So it's possible people could be commuting from parts of Connecticut, not leaving. I don't know. But it seems to me that you lose that commitment. You lose that partnership between the corporation and the state, even if there are still divisions of it operating in the state, and over time it peels away. But the psychology of it is the worst thing. The psychology is that it's another vote against the state of Connecticut from the business world. And everybody's always wondered what the tipping point will be, you know, how hostile to what matters most do Democrats have to do in making policy for the business model of the state to collapse, and that's what's happened. They've pushed it beyond the limit, and now anybody who's rational and in business is looking askance at the state. Ralph, you're next on WTIC. Hi.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Just thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you. A little bit of feedback on some of the collateral damage. I'm a builder developer
okay.
in Western Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going to happen is all of those 100 executives will put their houses on the market.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a relocation package from the large corporation.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have a few months in which they put the property on the market to try to recoup their, you know, their sale price from before they bought it. And then at that point, they bail. The reload company will take it. They make that executive whole. And then they
sell it at the new market value and take the hit?
Yeah, absolutely. I had that happen this year. A guy paid $3 million, big executive. He left, and his house ended up, I mean, in big dollars, still 2.2. But that was it. It was over.
But that creates an aggressive downward pressure on the value of homes.
Now you try to get a comp sale.
Yep.
We build new homes, and IBM downsized incredibly here. They had a huge operation in Southbury, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And as they did, these beautiful 20-year-old homes, 15-year-old homes, 4,000, 5,000 square feet with fairly low mortgages, they left. They either reload, and you can't compete with those at a new house today. The cost of the new house is a lot more than that. People will... They just don't do it. We're sitting on houses right now that shouldn't be sitting. And it's really, really incredibly sad to see this happen the way it is. And I just got a couple of quick little comments. One, if they made it for business to attract businesses, they would bring in income tax dollars. They would bring in new homes. They would bring in shopping dollars. They would bring in sales tax dollars. And they'd have enough money to go and spend their crazy lives away by just making business welcome. And one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before you were here, it was a time when Connecticut was fairly flush with dollars. It was a time before income tax. It was a time before the lottery. And it was a time before casino slot machine revenue. All of those have come in and we're in the hole.
Isn't that ironic that all the saviors that have come in over the last 30 years have destroyed the state?
Yeah. So, and just look at the biggest departments in the state, and you'll see where the dollars go.
Ralph, thank you so much for the call and for the information. Good call. Appreciate it. 860-522-9842. How is that possible, by the way, that the finances of the state have gotten so much worse? It's got something to do with, I think, that there is a larger amount that gets spent for every new dollar coming into the state coffers. And that's the tragedy of the Democrats.